About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen.
Let me add my welcome to this Sunday service for Church at the Green. The passage for our time today was planned many months ago, and we find ourselves looking at Jesus' transfiguration shortly before he entered Jerusalem, one of a series of talks in Luke's Gospel to lead us up to Easter. When I started to pray and study the passage and to prepare this sermon, I had no idea of the context I would be speaking into. But God is sovereign, his word is living and active, and we are going to see over the next few minutes that this event in Jesus' life is full of encouraging truth as we spend our first Sunday in national lockdown. My favourite novel, and also my favourite film series, is Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. As a teenager, I read it every year without fail, and I can vividly remember the excitement and anticipation that I felt as Peter Jackson made and then released the films, one every Christmas. One particular moment that stands out for me is watching the trailer for the third and final film, the majestic, gravelly voiceover saying, "This is your test. Every path you have trod, through wilderness, through war, has led to this road. Become the king you were born to be." This line sets up one of the key threads running through the film. Although the main enemy is clear, there is confusion and discord on the side of the good guys. There is a direct conflict between the current ruler and the man who should be king. The current ruler has a seeing stone that allows him to watch world events, and he has seen the enemy forces, the vast numbers that are moving to invade the kingdom. He has allowed his view to be dominated by his opponent, the evil one. He looks at the overwhelming odds and says, "It is hopeless. We cannot win. We should give up now." On the other hand, you have the rightful king who says, "No, it's not hopeless. I have a plan. We can win. Listen to me." The plan that this king is offering is not an easy one. It involves suffering and hardship and struggle. And so the characters in Lord of the Rings face a choice. Are they going to listen to the voices around them saying, "It is hopeless, we can't win, give up"? Or are they going to listen to the promised king, a king who offers challenge and struggle, but ultimately hope? We face a similar challenge today, don't we? The news and voices around us are full of fear and confusion. The latest stats on coronavirus are daunting beyond measure. It is not clear how this virus is going to be beaten. There are different voices, different perspectives, plenty of information that rightly causes us to be concerned. But there is such a great volume of information that it can all too easily swamp us and leave us panicked, distressed, or anxious. How do we remain hopeful when facing challenges we could not have imagined 4 weeks ago? To answer that, let us look for a few moments through the eyes of Peter, Jesus' close friend and disciple, as he witnessed the transfiguration. Peter has been travelling with Jesus for about 3 years at this stage, watching Jesus perform miracles, heal the sick, and deliver the most incredible teaching. Peter has even had the privilege of being sent out by Jesus at the start of Luke 9 to perform some healings with the rest of the disciples. It has been an amazing 3 years, culminating in Peter's acknowledgement just 8 days ago that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one all of God's people were waiting for. Yet there are storm clouds gathering on the horizon, and Peter has felt the first few waves. There has been opposition to Jesus. The Pharisees have openly challenged him, and some towns and villages have rejected his teaching. Even more worrying from Peter's perspective is that Jesus is not promising what Peter thought the Messiah should offer. Rather than holding out hope of an easy victory over the Romans, Jesus is promising hardship. Look down with me at verse 22 and following. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Jesus is warning Peter and the other disciples that things are going to get harder, that Jesus is going to be rejected and killed. This is not what Peter thought he had signed up for. So Peter faces a choice. Who is he going to listen to? Will he listen to his own internal doubt and fears? Will he listen to the respected religious authorities of his day, claiming that Jesus is a fraud? Or is Jesus trustworthy? Is Jesus really the Messiah? Is Jesus the one he should listen to? And wonderfully, through the Transfiguration, God provides Peter and us with a direct answer. He confirms Jesus' identity, and he commands us to listen. First, he confirms Jesus' identity. Look down with me at verse 28 and following. About 8 days after this, he took Peter, James, and John with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his exodus, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. We could spend an hour or more doing a study of the Old Testament at this point, picking up all the details here that point back to the history of God's people, all the ways in which Jesus fulfills God's promises, the mountain, Jesus' face and shining clothes, Moses, Elijah, the coming exodus in Jerusalem, all point to the fact that Jesus is God's promised king. But in our short time today, let us focus on verses 34 and 35. While Peter was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen." Here we get the bigger conclusion, the sign so obvious that it cannot be missed or overlooked. The cloud comes down, and the voice of God speaks in clear authority. "This is my son, whom I have chosen." God shows us beyond any doubt that Jesus' identity is genuine. He is the promised one. He is the Messiah. He is the one with power and authority. He is God's son, God's chosen one. God confirms Jesus' identity, and now he commands us to listen. Look with me at verse 35. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." In the face of many conflicting voices and opinions, in the face of his own doubts and fears, Peter is commanded to listen to Jesus. And moving forwards, as Peter faces Jesus' arrest, trial and execution, as Peter later faces persecution of the early church, and eventually his own arrest, trial and execution, the voice that he needs to listen to is that of Jesus. We know that this moment, here at the Transfiguration, was a comfort for Peter for the rest of his life. And we know because he tells us himself. In 2 Peter chapter 4, as he prepares to face death, Peter writes these words. "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Peter spent the rest of his life listening to Jesus, and that is what gave him hope and strength when times were tough. God confirms Jesus' identity, and God commands us to listen. So for us today, as we face new and unexpected challenges, what truth will we dwell on? Radio 4 and BBC News may well be truthful, but they are hardly uplifting. And a constant diet of 24-hour news can leave us very down. It is easy to say, "I will listen to Jesus," but what does that actually look like? For me, I want to start by thinking about how I consume news and social media. It is now habitual for me. Every time I have a break or a few minutes rest, I pick up my phone and look at BBC News or look at Twitter. I fill my mind with current affairs and read the same bleak stories again and again. Why? I need to challenge myself to plug into God's word more than I plug into social media. Somehow, I need to use those breaks, those 5 minutes of downtime to look at God and his word, to listen to Jesus. One idea might be to have a single focus verse for the day, a key truth that we study in the morning, but then return to over and over again. Every time we pull out our phones, before we turn to Twitter or the news, we reread the verse for the day. We could also make good use of Christian music, maybe have a playlist on the phone or the computer, or a CD in the stereo or in the car. Every time we have a break or some downtime, we listen to a song and take a moment to reflect on the words before we put anything else into our minds. There are great online resources as well. I've really enjoyed the Bible in 1 Year app over the last year, allowing me to listen to the scriptures being read to me during my daily commute. I no longer have a commute, but Kate and I have been enjoying the daily morning prayer sessions that St. Eb's Church have been putting on YouTube in recent days. Whatever works in our individual circumstances, the challenge for the weeks ahead is clear. As we live through this coronavirus lockdown, how will we listen to Jesus first? How will we fill our minds with his truth, rather than letting the daily news updates dominate our thinking? How will we listen to Jesus, God's promised King? Verse 35 again. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we are often too consumed by the different voices around us, that we can let our thinking be dominated by daily news rather than focusing on Jesus. Please help each of us to listen to Jesus daily, to meditate on your word, so that our minds are filled with your truth and that we may know your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.